Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, the show about everything and nothing at all. Now please welcome the Educated Redneck himself, Mr. Dan Ellison.
Greetings! Here we are. Unfortunately, another weekend off. It's just things that people I had left days open for just haven't filled them. And in this business, sometimes you end up, I was surprised by January, February. This is my birthday month, so maybe something will get better this month. Yeah. Seems life is just that way. Ebb and flow. A good friend of comedy taught me a long time ago to not worry. The gigs will show up. The money will be there. That's not, being self-employed is hard. And when certain people you count on have, you know, people have lives going on. They make mistakes and they overlook you and things happen. In this business, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you work together. Things just happen. I know my fall's good. Because my buddy Jake's out there pounding the spring. He ain't got no shortage of work. But I can't keep up that pace year-round. I struggled to do it for 5 months. Touring is one of those, it wears on you. I don't care how you tour, it wears on you. Now, granted, if you're like a big rock band, and you got a tour bus, and you can sleep all day, it's still a grind. Because performing, everybody, oh, you're just saying words, or you're just singing, or you're just that. There's a different kind of energy that comes out of you to perform. You're getting mystic. Yeah, I'm getting mystic. Because there's no words to describe it, and until you've done it, you don't understand it. You're just talking. You say that to yourselves. And then you go on tour, and the first week's this way, and then the next week, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse, and then it gets worse, and to the point where you're just dog tired. And then every night when you walk on stage, you got to throw. Because, see, I'm not like a tour bus. And see, that's the whole thing. This is what I'm saying. Them doing just that will wear them out. You can listen to Tom Petty, any of them. After they've been on the road for a certain amount of time, it almost becomes a pain. And that's the hard part, is to push through that and still provide a quality show. It's not their fault that you stayed out too long. But, my friends, it's a great way to put some dollars in your pockets. It's almost like being on a crab boat. That's what it's almost like. Man, you just pound it. 3.5-4 months and then rest. And I come home from the tour, I rest. I take a nap. I take a real good nap that lasts for days and weeks. Except for this year, I came right home, went right back to work because the work shows up. And here's the rule in this business. When it's there, you take it. You don't ever push it off. You get it while it's there at your doorstep every single time. And the more you work, the more you work. So, and then I got to put something into it, and I can't put anything into it because I'm trying to get the next van of white, done to replace Casper. Casper's just hit that moment where I don't trust it. And you got to trust your van you travel in because, and yeah, Casper's got a little better gas mileage. I'm going to pay for it in the gas, but I pick up a ton of room. A ton of room. 5 foot extra. The van is a big girl. And I lost little gas mileage. Everything's a trade. I have to admit, I can live in the van, and I don't ever complain. But I have to admit, having a bigger one with more space and more places to put things is going to be a ton better. It's just going to be. But my attitude is, whatever I'm given is what I'll go with. See, many people don't have that attitude. Everything's got to be exactly the way they want it. I mean, right down the line, the way they want it, to the nth degree. And if it's not exactly what they want, they will wig out. And not many people possess the ability to just go, this is what I got and live with. Well, there's, let me take that back. Most people in the city don't have that ability. Let me take that back. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's a matter how you were raised. I did a lot for my kids. Two of them appreciate it. One of them doesn't. Well, he did. He appreciated it until something happened. He claims it was my Facebook post. I'm too harsh. He went to college. My other two that didn't, well, guess what? They still love good old dad and his hard ways and his upfront speak. Because they haven't been softened. And you guys listen to me talk about police and think I hate. I do not hate the police. I want to get that out front. I hate what the police have become. There are still a bunch of really, really, really good cops out there. But what they're doing is they're forcing them to be a certain way. One of the main foundations, wait a minute, am I going to get into this? I think I might wait and see how Herman feels about this one because he's been with me on traffic stop. So he knows the folks. I've had over 40 traffic encounters. I've had two tickets, one for a taillight out and one made-up bullshit ticket that said I was doing 80 and a 60, which I know I wasn't. That's the whole funny part about it. But see, I didn't have a dash cam back then. I do now. And I highly recommend that everybody who is driving buys a dash cam that has your speed on it. It's not the... It will protect you from wrecks, yes. And mine, I've had two accidents where the camera was on. And, well, one wasn't even an accident. Somebody cut me off. And then they followed me to get my license plate. And I said to myself, save this dash cam. They're up to something. So I saved the dash cam. And then, lo and behold, about 2.5 weeks after that event, I get a phone call from Geico about the accident I was involved in. I was like, oh, really? That I had rear-ended somebody. It just coincidentally happened to be the two bitches that cut me off. And so they start with their, who was involved in the accident? There was no accident. Did you get hurt in the accident? There was no accident. About the third question about the accident. I said, look, there was no accident because I'm just doing my job. I have to ask these questions. I said, well, I'm not part of your stupid bullshit. I said, where do I send the video of the event? And she went, you have the video of the event? I said, yes. I said, because I knew them two bitches were up to something. I said, so I saved it. I said, where do I send it? I sent them the video. They immediately called me back and apologized. Now, I had not had that dash cam and known that, and when you get involved in any event, it takes a second to hit the save button. And then the rest of it will just write over itself, but the stuff you saved will be there. Then you bring it home. You put it in your computer. You save it. I've got a file. I got a file for all these close calls. For this reason, I knew they were up to something when they followed us and made sure they got the license plate. I knew they were up to something. So if I hadn't had that dash cam, I would have had to answer all their bullshit questions, probably been charged or hit and run, whatever. I would have had to hire an attorney. I would have had to take time out to go to court. And I'd have wasted way more than what I spent on, and I use Wolfbox. I know it's a Chinese company. I don't give a shit. It's the governments that are wanting to pit the people against the people, folks. So if it's cheaper, I'll buy it, especially when it's super quality. Now, you give me any of this quality in America, which we can do, but we won't do. And we can't do because of all the regulations the government have applied. So that's not my problem. My problem is I've got a certain amount of money to live on. I want the best of what I can get from my dollar. There you have it. And our government deliberately trying to crush our economy. And so what's your option? Spend a lot more to get half the product. It ain't going to matter. You're going to keep these companies afloat, not if the government wants them gone. Look, they shut down the fucking world over what is now a flu. A flu. Not a person will pay for it. It makes you get into that mood of why try. That's what it does. So anyhow, I'm going to do my first break, go find Herman. My buddy Jake, he's out. Lone Jester tour going on, Jokers and Jesters. He's the founder of it, man. The man's an animal. He's a working animal, man. You look him up, Jokers and Jester Comedy Tour. They're out rolling around Oklahoma. Louisiana, Texas area down in there right now. Follow them. Go look them up. So here, we're going to get this commercial rolling. Get Herman in. Be right back.
That's right. The Jokers and Jesters Comedy Tour is back on the road. We are currently promoting our second Amazon Prime special, Jokers and Jesters, the next special. We will be touring small towns across this great country of ours. So for our tour dates, follow us on Facebook at Jokers and Jester Comedy Tour or at our website, jokersandjester.com. It's a great night of music, laughter, and magic. Don't miss us as we come to a small town near you.
Do you love the outdoors? Do you want to help make a difference for the planet? Then get involved in Collectively Rewilding. Collectively Rewilding is a movement to restore degraded ecosystems and reinvigorate sustainable traditions almost lost by working together. It's based on the idea that we can achieve more by working together than we can by working alone. Sharing the skill sets we have built over the years with each other and providing the community support we all need when there is so much work to be done in finding a sustainable future. To join our community here in Collectively Rewilding, go to www.collectivelyrewilding.com. Let's bring nature back into our lives in a community built for the wild in all of us.
I'm Diana from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our shows. See you then.
Hey. Global Government, The Mystery School, Agenda 23, Chemtrails and Geoengineering, Manufactured Disasters.
We live in a time when awareness about current events and big media deception is critical to be prepared for the events that are rapidly descending upon us. This is Russ from Delivering the Truth and Exposing the Lies. Join Diana and me every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. as we expose the truth big media keeps lying about.
Herbal medicine, the globalist real agenda, seen through the propaganda.
Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty Lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom Show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double D, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Living Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
And we're back. We're back. I found Herman.
What's up? What's up, buddy?
He was giving this chick some shit.
Yes, sir, man.
And the funny thing, it was all real. But that's what they don't get. It was real.
Yes, man. You know, you tell a lady about what happens when it comes to the functioning of a male, and what kills me is how women have an opinion about them and us, and they're right about both opinions. I'm like,
yeah.
No, you need to shut your mouth.
You need to listen. I'm trying to help you.
I'm trying to help you. And then she's like, well, Herman, you talk to women the wrong way. I asked you to be quiet and listen, and you can't do that. I say, hey, shut up, and then you get mad. Then I say, shut the fuck up, then you get really bothered. Now I got this rope, this motherfucking shit in your mouth, and you tied the fuck up, bitch. Now what you going to say, ho?
See, that's what they don't understand. And this is one of the things, and this is our generation. All of us males of our generation are capable of severe violence. We just choose not to.
We choose not to.
Because we're capable of it.
We're not a part of this emancipated part of life where we just, every time a lady says something, we go, yes, dear. you're right. I'm like with Dr. Phil. The lady said, no, it was one show, it said, no, Peterson said, it's not right to hit a lady. And the guy, she asked the man, would you hit a lady? He said, yeah. She said, why would you hit a lady? He said, in self-defense. If she hit me, then the proper thing is to hit her back. She said, that's not right. And he said, well, why wouldn't the lady, doesn't she know she's not supposed to hit me? She said, yeah, but you're not supposed to hit a lady under no circumstances. And that's when I changed it. That's not a lady. That's a bitch. Wow.
Oh, damn.
I know we're upsetting people. Here's the point, and I've heard a person making this. And all these red pill shows are big now. Everybody's, you know, getting women in there and just sticking it in their faces. I mean, that's the big thing right now. But it's a cold reality that they've let go too long. That's why everybody, again, pendulum swing. We've talked about this. Society swings on a pendulum until people get tired of bullshit, and then they start coming out with the other edge of it, which is the truth, which pushes it back the other way. And then the other way, whether you're swinging left or right, each far extreme has things that are not real. Each far extreme has things that are not real. That's a fact. That's the way life is. So the pendulum swing's coming. And this guy said to this chick, he goes, you do realize that every right you have is because of men.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no, it's not. And he goes, yes, it is. Who fought to have this country? Was it women or was it men? It was men. When you're in trouble, can you impose your will on a man? No. Men are stronger by most extremes, so they always can impose their will on you. They just don't.
Women only want equality in things that they want to do. Get equality and get your ass on those bridges and that asphalt. Start pouring tar. Start doing roofs. Become a mechanic. Become a fisherman. Take your ass on a boat. Do a big oil rig. Make sure you get the doggone jackhammer. You ain't vote. You ain't asking for that. You're asking for equal pay in shit where you can use your hands and your mind and sit at a desk and be cheap. That's the only thing they're fighting for. They're not fighting for hard-working jobs. They're not fighting for real dirty. They ain't want to fight to be on the oil rigs. Ain't no woman fighting to be no damn coal mine. They are fighting to be in shit that's comfortable, reserved, and easy for them to do, and they want the same pay. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck out.
And here's the other end of it. They're missing what their best attributes are. And they have things that men cannot do. But
yeah.
They are so desperate to be a man, but they don't realize that they're special all on their own. Why do you think all over centuries, women and children first? Why do you think when we went to war, it was the men who went to war and we didn't put the women out front? It's a form of respect, but they can't even see it that way because they're so ready to bitch about it and make it a patriarchy when they don't realize it's respect that we go do the nasty, dirty things so they don't have to.
Yes. Yes, and when we do things of convenience, hoping that we will be appreciated, we're going to be torn down for the same thing. Because men are taught how to treat women, okay? And they're learned how to be considerate of their ideas. Women learn for a man to be considerate of their ideas, but they never learn how to treat us. Women never learn how to treat us. They don't know how to treat us at all. We always go out there, all our way for a woman. And then the mind games women play are dangerous. This is what the problem is. Women are in a position to play too many games with no consequences.
Right, because divorce 80 to 90% of the time ends up with them smelling like roses while the guy's homeless in the fucking streets.
90% of women own homes because of divorces. 90% of homeowning women their house was given to them. Okay? The hard work of women is, I got some good vagina that he likes. That's it. That's the hard work of women. I got good vagina and he likes it.
And now, and we will say this, though, again, because we know how to talk this way, it's not all women.
Mm-mm.
Because there are a large group of women, and when you find them, they're a pleasure to be with.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
enjoyable. It's fun. You want to go do things with them. You want to spend the day with them. You want to – those women exist, but they're few and far between because most of them have got all this shit fed into them where they're trying to be a man. Men's world ain't fun.
It is not fun, man. And then women take you through the ritual of, oh, you want to be with them and you want to do this and be nice and kind and, you know, you go without sex and try to do the right thing. Okay, cool, no problem. But once the woman don't want you, then what, I'm going to start over with that bullshit again?
Yeah.
I'm going to start all over being good to her, chilling, waiting for you to have sex with me when you want to. And then I go through all this. All I got is a full nuts and a brain that's been going crazy. I got full scrotum sacs, and I'm out of my fucking mind.
And here's the funny thing. Listen to what you just said. There's a bunch of women going, that bastard and all this other shit. Yet those are the same women that go, well, just once a month I go crazy. You're going to have to deal with it.
Jeez.
Because their hormones make them act a way, but our hormones don't. Even though our hormones are exactly proven to be that way, because whenever they give men a lot of testosterone in the form of name slips me right there. Steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Steroids. In the name of steroids, why is there steroid rage? Because testosterone is a very aggressive and a hormone.
Ooh.
And it makes you aggressive. It
I told
makes
a lady.
You angry. And the hardest part is we have to control our anger 24/7, while they only have to control their emotions once a month.
Man, oh, man, I got into that conversation, you know, it's crazy, man.
But you get what I'm saying? Our hormones don't change. Once we hit puberty, there's a reason that little boys are horn dogs. They don't understand it. It's not in their mind. It's that hormone, and it makes you horny. That's why you're hornier when you're a teenager, and when you get older, that's why older guys don't fall for all these old games, because we're not ruled by our dick anymore. And yes, men are ruled by their dick when they're young and their hormones are all in play. That's a fact. It's not an excuse, but it is a fact, and they are expected at a young age to control themselves while the other half isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's control yourself 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's a hard task, no pun intended, but that's a hard task. You know? And people don't understand that. And I've been around young boys, and I understand it. And that's why when you watch it from a distance, it's all clear. Especially if you've lived through it. That's why you've had these people where you're sitting there talking to your parents with your girlfriend. We're going to go watch the movie. And they're like, mm-hmm. They know. They know. And that's why parents today that have their young daughters out in the middle of the night, they ain't no concept in their mind that they think they're behaving.
You want me to tell you what they're training their kids to be? It's like this. Men have hormones. Women are whores moaning.
Okay? I just heard 1,000 assholes slam shut.
Yes. I'm telling you, man, we have hormones. We have women are whores moaning and bitching and complaining and never satisfied and never happy. Perfect example. The WNBA, right? We need equal rights for women in the this made me once dumb bitch. The NBA been rolling for a long time and they're millionaires. You just started the WNBA a few years back, and the WNBA is being supported by the NBA, and it's at a $10 million deficit each year.
Yes.
So every year the WNBA exists, the NBA loses $10 million in its existence. So do the men continue to listen to the women bitch and be dissatisfied about what they have and they've done nothing to receive it? They say, well, hey, let the rims down and make the game more exciting. No, we don't want to do that. Women don't want to listen to shit. You just want to tell everybody what to do, fuck up the system and say, okay, as long as the integrity of the woman is healed, we don't give a damn if the world falls apart. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
And you can't say nothing about it.
Nothing. And the famous line of a woman now is, you won't let me talk. No, you never shut up. You never shut the fuck up. I've never seen run-on sentences so often in my life to now. Run-on
sentences. The thing is, when I was younger, it was so different at home.
Yes.
It was. And people go, oh, yeah, you want the woman back in the kitchen. No, I want them to use their strengths, because when both of you use your strengths, you become stronger.
Yeah, my dad
never asked my mom to ever change a tire on a car in her entire life. Ever.
Ever. Ever.
Ever. And when we got to the doors was always open. It was respect.
Yeah.
It was a real respect, not this respect when you get 1,000 likes because you flashed your tits. It was a real respect. We didn't expect them to do the dirty shit. The only time my mom ever helped in anything that wasn't inside was in hay season, and we were just shorthanded. So the jobs you can do, drive a truck. She could drive a truck. So that's what she did. I was young. I could drag a bale of hay. I drug two together because my bigger brother could pick both of them up and move them to the thing. Everybody worked when you had to work, but the vast majority of time was spent trying to make sure they didn't have to do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's mm-hmm. a patriarchy. That's me putting you down because I don't want you to have to do the shitty jobs.
Man,
how is that?
Women have messed it up nowadays because it's like, they don't realize how much work and effort we put into things and how much we really care. Right now, we're in a world of scrutinizing and no appreciation, just scrutinizing. Nothing's ever good enough. I'm like, who are you? And why do I need to kiss your ass? What I need to do is leave you the fuck alone and show you how independent I am and how well I can make it without you. Now, one thing I had to learn as a male, for these new women, all males need to know how to wash, cook, sew, clean, and iron for yourself so you're never dependent on a nappy-head-ass woman, a foolish-ass woman, to take care of you. That's not – you cannot do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Be independent, fellas. Don't have a lady, I got a woman because she cooks. You better learn how to cook because when she gets bored, you're going to be hungry. When she gets angry, you're going to be hungry. She will hold that against you. And that's one thing. And I had an incident with a lady recently. I was with a family member. And we were talking, and the lady said, well, Herman, you use foul language when you were talking. I'm like, we talk all the time, and you're cursing too. She said, I'm not used to you cursing. She talked so long, so she wouldn't let the conversation go on, and she told me that I was disrespectful to women and stood up and grabbed me and then went to tussling with me. Now, none of the women in the house said one damn thing, nothing, until I grabbed her ass. And as long as she was swinging at me, trying to hit me in my face, throwing shit, oh, everybody was fine in the room. As soon as I collared that bitch and stopped her in her tracks, hey, don't put your hands on a woman. Not only am I going to put my hands on this woman, I'm going to bang her head on this goddamn table repeatedly until she's unconscious and she don't learn to keep her hands off of me. Then when I let her go, I didn't do anything to her. I let her go. She said, I'm calling the police. Huh? You put your hands on me, then you're going to call the police. And then when the lady of the house woke up because she was asleep, she said, I don't know what's going on. I said, well, you don't know what's going on. You put your hands on me. I never touched you. What? Bitch, are you delirious? She said, I never touched you. There's witnesses in the room. And everybody's looking at her like, are you fucking nuts? And yes, she was nuts.
Yeah.
Dan, this is going on everywhere, man.
Oh, yeah. It's off the chain. It's a form of insanity. Well, we let it go. And it sounds stupid to people, but I'm going to tell you where, in my opinion, the real train got off the track.
Okay.
Bill Clinton getting the BJ in the White House.
Mm.
Because it was national news, He lied openly to the American public, and they did not care. Because that all depends on what the meaning of the word is.
Mm.
And right at that moment, everybody went, hey, the president can lie. And not. And this is, we talk about programming, symbolism, society, all that. This was this moment. And there were many people who said, if you let him get by with this lie, it will destroy the truth in America. Now, you tell me the truth in America has not been destroyed.
Yeah, and it'd be truthful. And the true truth in America is that Bill Clinton ain't the only one that's screwed in the White House. You got your dick sucked, just admit it, because Kennedy and everybody was doing what they chose to do.
Exactly. The main thing is, and this is what always gets to me, you can do a lot of things to me, lie to me, and we're done. That's a very simple thing with me. Lie to me, and we are done. Simple. Easy. One rule. And that's why when he got the BJ, I didn't give a shit. Just like with the Hunter Biden, the cocaine in the White House, that ain't the first blow that's ever been in the White House.
In the White House. And it ain't the first time anybody ever been blowed in the White House. So come on.
Exactly. Exactly. All that. The thing is, your word, when you lie about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, everybody gets caught. Everybody, I want the first person who's had the perfect life where they've never lied, they've never done anything wrong, they've never done anything. They're the most virtuous person, and never in their darkest moments when things went crazy and they have said things in their heads that they reasoned out why they should do it and later realized it was stupid. That's part of life and learning. But the thing is, when you get caught, own up. That's what develops your character and makes you stop doing that, because then you realize you can't lie your way out. And this happens with kids. Well, kids are the most pure form. Kids will lie their fucking ass off to you.
Lie as you look at you in the face and lie while they're talking to you. They lie
all
the
time. Oh, yes.
And you want me to tell you how I know? I was a kid.
Yeah. Kids do that. You break this? Nah, it wasn't me. That's still a lie. Yeah. But when you look me in the face as an older person, not a child, when you should have learned at some point along the way that that was not the way to be, and then you're a man of presidential age, and then you lie to me when you're the leader that I want your word, that is a huge cry from a child's lie or some of the other lies that people have done.
Well, what about Watergate? What about Nixon? I mean,
right.
I mean, that was the first, okay. Getting your dick sucked in the White House, okay, he lied. He just got his dick sucked. You talk about selling drugs. You talk about running arms. That's the real shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they got him, though, didn't they?
I don't care if Bill Clinton got caught with Monica Lewinsky with her tongue in his butthole. It doesn't affect the presidency.
Right.
It doesn't affect – it's a shame that it happened, but it doesn't affect the presidency.
And it'd be better to just say – I did it.
Yeah. But to see the world is, you can't just say I did it because politics and religion don't go together. But whenever somebody's running for politics, they always end up in a church.
Yes. Yes, always. That's a stop. That's like a check mark. That's like what to do when you want to be president. Check.
Go to church. Go to black churches.
Yeah, you might. And you talk like black people and carry hot sauce.
Yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah, carry hot sauce. Red hot. Don't have Tabasco because that ain't black people. Don't know how Tabasco that. Got to be red hot of Louisiana, baby.
And sure, well, you may ignore them for the other 3 years. You make sure that you tell the blacks that you want their vote on the election year. Everything else, don't worry about. But make sure on the election year you point out to them that, hey, we're here for you. We're here for you. We don't believe that you're smart enough to get an ID. So we're trying to make it so you don't have to have an ID. That's how much we think of you. We think that you're so stupid you can't do what any normal person can do.
I'm a black Republican. Okay, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I've been Democrat my whole life. And the reason why I've been Democrat my whole life is the same way 80% of America are Christians. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
they say you need to vote just like they say, do you accept Jesus Christ your personal Savior? You need to vote. Do you accept Jesus Christ your best personal Savior? You need to vote. Do you accept Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Those are things that are programmed into you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
When a person asks me, do I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm going to tell you ain't none of your damn business because you just said the word personal within this conversation. So if you ask me, do I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, personally is none of your damn business.
Exactly.
Personally. So why are you asking me? See, this is a game people play, you know, and that's like a prerequisite with being with women now, too, is like, are you a part of their religious choices?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when men go to church, it ain't because they want to go. It's because some woman done drug him in that bullshit. Men don't go to church because they want to. They go in there because a woman, you want some pussy. So therefore, you will become religious to get some pussy. That's what happens. When you finally get that ass, you say, thank you, Lord, because that's the only reason why you did it.
Oh, my God. But see, you know, here's what might be different, though, Herman, and this might be why we seem like dinosaurs to the young people. You and I both know, it's been proven in many studies, that male testosterone levels now of a 16-year-old male are not that of a 60-year-old male.
Yeah.
So a lot of these young, you know, pink-haired, earring-wearing men, air quotes, don't have testosterone levels. And so they are effectively neutered. And they don't have, if you got the hormones of a 60-year-old man, you ain't got the sex drive of a teenager.
That's right.
And every study's bearing this out. The vast majority of males just aren't having sex. They just aren't. And so to hear it from our perspective where we grew up, in a day and age when kids actually had lots of hormones, and we faced that going through that period, learning how to be controlling of yourself, learning to be a master of your body, which guys are forced to do.
Yes.
Then they don't understand our perspective because they're not horny.
That's...
Why do you think strip clubs disappeared a lot around? You've been in this area as long as I have. Remember Donald's, and there's strip clubs everywhere. Where are they at now?
Yeah. Because they ain't interested.
That's right.
If it ain't men in there, ain't nobody want to see it. Men, if you want a strip club now, you got men on men and women on women for the strip club to work.
Right. And see, and I'm going to go all the way out on this limb. Testosterone makes you horny. When you're super horny, it don't take much to get you ready to rock and roll. A breeze will do it when you're young. That's why while you're asleep, you would have nighttime emissions. So when you're young and horny like that, a boner's easy to get. Now, you go to a lot of these older men, and this is where the weird fetishes get really there, is with the older men because it's that excitement of the fetish that helps them because they don't have the hormone to help them. And now they have to get the excitement of the fetish. Then you compare that with the young men who know that they should be wanting sex, and they don't have enough hormones to naturally want to get it. So what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to the kinky to give them that boost to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But seriously, when you were younger, they didn't have to wear lingerie. They didn't have to. They just had to show up. Because your hormones were so high that your body was practically ravaged by them. Because that was your one thought as a young man, whether people want to admit it or not. The mere fact that men can have that one thought in their mind as prevalent as it is and still accomplish anything is a miracle.
Yeah.
That's when you take that energy and you go burn it off somewhere.
You got to.
Because if you're a young man sitting in a house doing nothing with the hormones we had at that day and age, you and access to the porn that they have, you would never leave your bedroom.
Yes.
Your dick would have a constant Indian burn.
Twenty-four hours.
Because, see, that's what they don't get. And that's where I look, and I think that's where I'm disconnected. Because they have put so much shit in your food. The maker of Kellogg's, it's now come out. The whole reason he made Kellogg's Corn Flakes was to prevent boys from being horny.
Mm-hmm.
And now chemicals that are found in Cheerios that are extremely bad for you are now found in 80% of the American population. And testosterone levels are plummeting. I guarantee you if estrogen levels were plummeting, there'd be a team of scientists on it right now. But right now, they're getting what they want because once you take the testosterone out, you take the aggression out, you attack the rest of the males who somehow got a good level of testosterone in them and call them toxic, and you attack the whole male image to destroy it, because when every male is gone, taking over becomes easy.
Yeah, it's easy. There's no one in the way.
Right. There's no men left to fight. Because you watch what they're teaching their kids overseas. They sure as hell ain't teach them all this, you know, alphabet shit. No, they teach them how to assemble guns, how to judo, the old physical fitness that we used to do.
Yeah, that's, we don't do anything anymore like we used to do. There's no.
Here, as a matter of fact, in my, I kind of prowl through the news because I want to hear what people are saying. That's how I learn. Where is this study? Because there's a study here that says that children are having trouble with their eyesight because they are not outside enough.
Yeah.
And they said they're staring at teeny screens too much. Oh, come on. My computer's locking up. Why is my computer locking up? Oh, God. I hate it when my computer locks up. Don't you?
Yeah. It locked up, man.
Yeah. There we go. Finally it moved. Let me see if I can find that story now. Because they specifically said that these kids not going outside. Let's see here. I'm sorry. I've got all these things about all these people that are dead now that are in their 50s and shit. There's more. Oh, they tell the older people need to get their booster shots, by the way. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Excessive screen time means Gen Z has missed out on vital, natural light during formative years with a potentially catastrophic long-term impact on their vision. The world is already experiencing soaring rates of short-sightedness with an increase of 46% in the UK over the last 3 decades.
Wow.
Says they are not outside, which means they aren't getting sufficient dopamine, which in turn is damaging their eyes. Now, let's go back and see if you remember this scene. And again, this shows how much knowledge we've just let disappear and nobody's passing it on anymore. You were a young kid. You sat too close to the TV. What did your parents say? Get away from that screen. It's bad for your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was right again?
Yep.
Your parents.
Mm-hmm. They were right once again.
They tried to pass you knowledge. They tried to tell you something. And you just ignored it. And they point out that it's different because they're talking about developing eyes. Once your eyes are developed, it's different. That's why, you know, but you still get strain if you sit and look at a computer screen too long.
And if you look at your little phone screen too long, and they're just staring at that 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's the first thing. You know, kids, they just put that screen in their hand and let them go to it. Why can't they take crayons and color in a coloring book and see real colors? Why can't they go outside and play, get the thing out of their hand and get back into being where you're at? I go to the park and take walks, and there's these people just walk around looking at their damn phone the entire time they're walking.
That's why I used to do this on my show. I used to say there was a time when kids used to, when people say go outside and play, go outside and play. Now they tell your kids go in the room and play. And I used to imitate running around the circle in the room and then turn around and run them back around the circle. And then that's when they put them on medication.
Yes.
Because as soon as you put a kid in the room, that's just like putting a mouse on a wheel.
Yeah.
Okay? You got them stuck in one place. And that's what happens. You cage these children. Children need to interact. They need to explore. They need to learn.
Yes.
Because they are absorbing at this time. And what you put in front of them to absorb is what they will retain.
Yes.
So right now we're talking about, you're born a boy and you're born a girl, but you don't have to make that choice of your sex. Man, I'm getting to a point right now where it's like, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to be real. I can't do this, and I want to say that this is just me saying something, but it almost makes me want to take a bat and hit every person that says that to a child.
Yeah.
It makes me want to walk up on the school board and hit everybody in the back of the head like Goodfellas.
Am I funny like a clown?
Yeah, because when you see people stand up and read books that should not be in the library or schools, and the board says, well, sir, could you stop reading that? But this is what my kids are checking out, but I can't read it in front of you.
Right.
And that doesn't make sense. And this is what is going on, these oxymorons. No, it's not oxy. They're complete morons.
What's the next step in the plan? Mm-hmm. It's the next step in the plan. They remove the father from the home. Now they're the father. And they don't fear because they're going to go, well, the government knows the best. They know how to educate and make a well-rounded. No, they don't. Do you realize that when the Board of Education was developed, mm-hmm. we were number one in the world in education? And since that thing has been put in place, we're now 24 in the world. So they developed the Board of Education to take over the school system that was number one and then drove it to number 27, but that's not their fault.
But see, education is an adaptation to one's environment. What does it take for that to happen? Application within the environment. We are taking away the application, but those things are applicable to the things that you read. So therefore, if there are not things that are applicable to the things you read, you never have an example of what you're reading. You always just have this imaginary thought.
Yeah.
We had knowledge because we were hands-on. This is a read, then find out community.
Yeah. Shop class.
Yeah.
Home economics. And then civics. We had discussions in our school.
But see, now you have a shop class on shop class.
Yeah, okay? You don't actually go to shop class.
Yeah, you have a shop class on shop class.
You
this
just
is what
talk
shop
about
class
it.
Used to be.
Yeah.
We made wood. We made crafts. We made macrames. These
and here's
are the things
a prediction.
That they did.
Here's a prediction. Very shortly, seeing as how they have these Google goggles and they want everybody to use them, there'll be a big donation to the schools and they'll have virtual wood class where you go into a virtual world where you can't be hurt and you operate saws and drills and everything like that with your glasses.
Yes. Yes.
Going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Going to happen. Going to happen.
It's going to happen. You know, it's a little bit off the subject right now, but there was a lady, I can't think of her name, I'm going to look her up. She was like 74 years old when they first started interviewing her, 73 years old, 72. And she had been eating an all-natural diet, you know, since she was in her 40s because she wanted to live better. Now, her and her husband were both around the same age. But when she was 74, she looked maybe about 50, 48. When he was 74, he looked every bit of 80. She was all natural, grew her own garden vegetables in her house and everything, peace of mind, all this stuff. Her husband was still eating meat and taking pharmaceutical drugs. She was pure free. And you know what he said when he was 82? When he was 72, he said, I wish I had started when she did.
Yeah.
But yet still, he never started. He just went on here. She ended up having to take care of him. When they were in their 80s, he ended up being, you know, a patient for her. And she's still agile.
Yeah.
Moving, doing her thing. If that isn't enough proof for people, I don't know what's going on. We have to get back to what we're doing right now, what we are doing right now, you and I.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, and I asked this question. I've asked it 100 times. I'll ask again. What is the point of the FDA? If you're going to let poisonous shit into the food line, what is the point of having an FDA? Why are we spending the millions, if not billions of dollars, if we're not going to stop anything?
Okay. What was it when they used to regulate radio? What was that called?
FCC.
What was the purpose of the FCC?
That's my point. They used to have the fairness doctrine. They operated on the fairness doctrine and said if you had this amount of programming, you had to have this amount of program to counteract it.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be that way. I think if you have a good message, the people will come to you.
Yeah.
That's why I truly believe that if we just keep running this show and keep doing what we're doing, that people will and that's why I make it a point to not – I hate this when people go, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button and all that. And I understand why they do it, though, because most people don't think about that while they're listening. They don't, and I understand that. But
okay, share, subscribe.
Yeah, but I truly believe, like with you and me,
yeah,
people will do that on their own.
Yeah, because we're ringing their bell.
Yeah, because we got them going, holy
shit.
That's
right.
We're not the same dog and pony show. We may talk about the government. We may talk about this. We may talk about personal life. We may talk about growing up. That's the beauty of our conversations and why every single time when you call me, I make sure I have an hour. Because
that's
I know,
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I know you and I are going to go off on some shit that we both think the other person should know.
Man, and this kid last night is calling, and listen, I'm going to start using, this is going to be my new theme song for coming on for comedy, right?
Yeah.
There's a kid called, I looked at it, it says Shadow Comes Out 3D. It's coming out March 8th. Shadow Comes Out 3-8, okay, that's what it's called, Shadow Comes Out. It says, one foot in the grave. Don't dare make a sound. Shh. Hear you from a mile away. Run from the town. All you need is your name and the sweat from your brow and the blood running through your veins. You'll be dead in a second. Turn your eyes from your hands to the heavens. Kill your pride. Turn your fear into a weapon. And don't forget it. Don't let it take control. Don't let them break your soul. It's not the devil at your door. It's just your shadow on the floor.
That's cool.
Yeah. Don't. It's not the devil at your door. It's just your shadow on the floor. Period. And when you're a shadow of yourself, it means a whole lot.
Hell yeah, it does.
You know, this kid, man, I heard it. When I kept hearing it, I just played it over and over again. I played that song, and I just wrote it down because it was so instrumental to me.
Yeah. It's a message.
It's a message, man. And I got this book, man. I started writing all these things down, man. And then I had to bring this book out to write it down. I'm like, man, why haven't I been reading this book? I've written all these things down, man. And I have so much knowledge of these different things I've studied, right? And it's like, I love to talk about the study of things that are absent from the education that we receive. This is what I love to talk about, things that are unheard of. The things that they call conspiracy theories, well, hey, I'm trying to turn it into not being a conspiracy and letting you know that it's a fact.
Well, yeah. Just like when we said the Rona was the new flu. And we were shut down, called names, ostracized over pointing out what was the real truth and called conspiracy theorists.
That's right. Ostracized. I mean, people would like, man, it was.
Oh, yeah. They unfriended me. I got a whole bunch of people unfriended me. Oh, you're this, you're that. My freaking son is upset. Oh, but you get that from YouTube. Yeah, my YouTube education was right.
I went from every time I opened up on Facebook Live and things with 2-3K every time. Now, then it dropped down to 50, 60, 70, 60. Because when you speak truth, you're going to lose an umbrella of people.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get butt hurt because they don't like looking at the truth.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They don't like looking at the truth. I've done some things right now, testing out numbers and stuff and working with hospitals and stuff, just with my own health. I'm living something that I want to show people that's different. I'm living the fact that I used to be borderline diabetic, but I'm not anymore. I'm living the fact that I used to have high blood pressure and I was taking medication, and I don't anymore. High cholesterol, and it's gone. Okay, I'm living this fact.
Yeah, natural.
Natural. I'm debating with them right now on my prostate situation, and they're telling me my numbers are high, and I'm telling them, listen now, from the last time you told me without instruction, my number has dropped. When you gave me instruction, I took a test again, and it dropped again, but I didn't even know your instruction yet. I took it again, and it dropped even more. I'm not going to have a biopsy first. What I'm going to do is wait to see what these numbers do. Well, you're in this percentile, and you can have cancer in it. If I listen to you, I'm going to have cancer. If I convince myself of what you're saying, I'll end up speaking it into existence and eating it into existence.
Exactly.
I'm not doing that. I'm going to continue to do what I do. When I come back in there again, my numbers are going to even be lower. And then I'll be able to tell other people because they're running people, men running in there with prostate issues, they're running you in there like cattle cars. So there's something going on in the world that has men's prostates flaring now, right now. There's something they're doing in all males that have prostate issues. Change your eating habits immediately. Begin to exercise. Listen to the things that you need to do functionally to take care of yourself. We can correct all things. If you need to go to the doctor, let it be for a broken bone. You don't need to go to the doctor for some things that you can figure out in yourself. That's what they call it, the practice of medicine. And the only reason they can answer your questions is because you come in there and tell them your symptoms.
Right? Yeah, well, this is the thing, okay? Right now, they've got way more screening techniques for cancer than we've ever had.
Ever.
Ever. There was a study done. I can't remember where it's at. And people go, well, I don't care. I read it. If you're not going to believe me, don't believe me. I'm good with that. Do your own research. But the study was done. That it was questioning whether it was so good to be able to detect something so soon. Now, here's the reason. They're saying when they looked at the early detected cancers, they were such cancers that if they hadn't been detected and they hadn't been treated, would have never grown to anything, amounted to anything. So they were so small and so minuscule that many people would, like, you know, there are many people have forms of cancer in their later years as your body starts breaking down. That's just one of those things that happens. But if they were never detected, it would have never really changed their life length. But the treatment did, because the treatment is to poison you to the point everything in your body dies by giving you radiation at amounts that are stupid.
Stupid. I watched my mother go through breast cancer. And she chose radiation. At a point, it was almost like the radiation was burning through her body. She had burns on
right.
her back. She had burns on her back from
right.
the frontal. You hear me?
Yes.
I watched it, and then I watched my mother suffer, and they told her, now this chemotherapy, I mean, supposed to do something. When they went in there to put the lung tubes in her, you know, the lung tube in there to take off some of the fluid, the nurse said, oh, my God, she has so many tumors, we can't get the tube through. So what the flip is this chemotherapy doing? Right. If it's supposed to eradicate the tumors,
right,
then why isn't it doing it? My mother would have been better off changing her eating habits, getting rid of all her sugar and putting castor oil all over her whole body. She'd have had a better chance.
Hey, here's the truth. Now, you know I'm torn with a guy on the Jokers and Jesters in the fall. We do it heavily. His name's Jake. Jake had stage 4 cancer. It was in every part of his body. They told him that he had 6 months tops to live.
He metastasized, as they say.
Right. He left that office and went on this, I'm hoping I remember the names. I think it's called Phillips Oil or something like that. I wish I could remember exactly what it was. I'll try to find out. Rick Simpson's oil. He changed his diet. He went vegan. He went on Rick Simpson's oil. And within 6 weeks, he showed back up to the doctor, and the doctor said he wasn't going to die. And then within 6 to 8 months of that, he was cured.
We talked about Rick Simpson's oil, man, when I was back at 103 Jams years ago. And
Tell me.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to believe what we're told or what we see? That's the question.
That's it. And we're supposed to see, first of all, I told you, let's go back. Let's reiterate on this. Are we supposed to believe what we're told or what we see? First of all, we're never supposed to be leaving our senses. So if you don't leave your senses, you can be able to see things accurately. But you can't leave your senses. You can't trust in something without understanding within oneself. You can't just trust in something. I believe that's blind trust. Belief is blind trust.
Yes.
I believe when I walk outside, it's going to be nice outside. You open the door, it's raining. Your belief has nothing to do with reality. Belief has nothing to do with reality. Nothing. You can believe something and get lucky and get it right. You can believe something and get it totally wrong. That's what belief is, taking a chance, crossing your fingers.
And that's why I said we have sat here and watched this. We're given example after example. Like today, and this is in your liberal news. Now, remember, folks, when I tell you this, the government has known this the whole time marijuana has been illegal. The government has known that it is not equal to an opioid. The government has known it is, in fact, the cheap cure for many, 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 many things. Rick Simpson's oil is made from marijuana. Rick Simpson's oil isn't $300,000 a radiation dose. It ain't none of that crazy shit. It's cheap, it's affordable, and it can be grown and produced by people at home, which is why it's such a danger to big pharma.
You can buy a tent, grow your own marijuana, and produce Rick Simpson oil yourself.
Right.
Okay, they act like this is some big giant formula, some secret. Oh, my God. Well, first of all, marijuana was abolished by George Washington. Okay?
Yep.
If George Washington knew the value of hemp to the indigenous culture people, if everybody would look and they say, when the Americas was first this, that, and the other, whatever the hell they say, when you look at the first picture of the Americas, it's some white Europeans coming into America with black people, indigenous people from many different colors, already here cultured.
Yeah.
So you didn't see, we got to get out of this story of people coming somewhere and teaching humans that, you know, we taught them colonialism. No, listen, whatever you came and changed within a group of people that had everything already, we only listened to what you're describing these people were. That it wasn't what you're talking about. When we start talking about what's really going on in America, if you change the map totally around, that means we're standing in anything that's a promised land right now. That's why America is what it is. America's not great because it's just great. America is great because it's the greatest land that God ever made on this earth. That's why it's so great. And if you change the direction of where we're located, then you can tell us we're somewhere we're not. There have been mudslides of some sort in this great nation to make it flat, because there are caves under everything here. There are pyramids in Ohio, pyramids in Michigan, pyramids in Indiana.
Yes.
Okay. Why are these pyramids in existence?
The Grand Canyon is full of temples, and that's why they won't let you in it.
The Grand Canyon, okay, if you look at flat Earth versus round Earth, on round Earth, Africa is on the other side of the world. On flat Earth, Africa is within walking distance of time. It might take you a while, but it's within walking distance if you go through the Grand Canyon. If you look at flat Earth, round Earth, Russia's on the other side of the world. You look at flat Earth, Russia is less than, if you go by water, Russia is about a mile and a half, a mile and three quarters from America. If you go by the land mass that divides the two, which is in the center of the water. Okay? So when we start talking about flat Earth versus round Earth, it's two different dimensions on how things can be viewed. If you see why they made it around Earth, NASA made around Earth, and NASA never went to the moon. And NASA can be very, very easily just nullified, because all you got to ask the question is, who was taking the picture of the rocket going around the Earth? Because if I'm taking a picture of a plane, there's another plane right beside that plane. So if that's the first rocket in space, who filmed it and who had the technology to film it? If there was a rocket in space, what was the communication system that would allow you to talk from the moon to Earth?
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real with people and stop being silly. Because I understand about, said, okay, Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Okay, that's a story, just like the fucking moon. It's a good, good story. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And why would Stanley Kubrick on his deathbed say he faked the moon landing? On your deathbed, when you find that real scare where you're going to be as honest as you're going to be, why did he do it there?
Yeah. And why did, just like they faked COVID.
Yeah.
Just like they faked Vietnam and made all that shit up and went over there and killed a whole bunch of unnecessary young men from America for no damn reason.
Well, see, now that same government that did all that and has lied to you for years about cannabis, here's another study that just come out. Cannabis has deadly effect on the most common form of cancer, melanoma.
Yes. Yes.
Shit, dude. I got to take a commercial. We're way past, way past commercial.
Oh, man, take a commercial, man, because I'm full. Go ahead, man.
Because we are just, this, again, folks, tell people about this conversation. We do it every Monday. This is not so much a show as just what Herm and I do normally. That's why there's no directions. There's no, well, we're going to talk about this subject. We both come up with things. We talk about them. It may be things that I've looked at today. It may be things I've thought about. Maybe things Herm from. And then Herb will take us in a direction. And I'll take us in a direction. It's just a conversation. We're not trying to convince each other of anything. We're trying to put some ideas out there that are different.
Yeah, we're on the level of Bill Moore and Ice Cube right now. You got to understand that level. And I can't think of any more combinations.
Yeah, we're just trying to put it out there, and we're giving you two completely different perspectives because we both grew up different.
Mm-hmm.
But we both see a lot of things the same thing because we both experienced them, not what we were taught, not what we were told.
But what we know.
What we know, what we've lived, what we have experienced. And the beauty of having it from two different perspectives is anytime you've got more than one view of something, you have a better chance of seeing what it is.
And when they don't want you to know something, they get rid of it. Like, we're going to come back and talk about hemp when it was on the back of the $10 bill.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. People don't, there's so many things, like the whole 13-month thing. I never heard that until just recently. Now, why, if that's real, and it is, why was that never taught to you in school, ever?
Well, it goes back to what I tell you. Education is the adaptation to one's environment. Now, if we look at the entire premise and the reasoning behind schooling, then you'll understand why you don't know what that is.
Exactly. Anyhow, let's run these commercials because we'll talk to the end of the show. It just happens.
Yes,
so we're going to take a break, folks, and we will be right back.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hey, everyone. Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
And we're back. We're back for that run to the finish line. Run to the finish line. Dude, it's really funny because when I come on the show, I go through the news. I'll pull up a couple of things to talk about. And then I'm always amazed that we start and where it goes.
Yeah.
It just takes off and it just does its own little thing. like at the beginning, I was getting ready to come back from when I was sitting there rambling and talk about the police today versus the police when I grew up. And then we went somewhere else.
Just, well, you talk about over 110 years of experience speaking.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever explore the – now, we've done things for a long time, but consistent with a national level of exposure in our way, yes, we are. But given in to the system and the powers that be, we've never done it.
No. We've always been those individuals that was like, well, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm not going to play by things that don't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this whole thing about asking questions and trying to make equivocations so people can understand where we come from. And so we look for a way to tell you where we're coming from. And we're not – like when we started, it sounded like we're coming from men or just because they can beat you up should be in charge. No, that's not what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about a natural order that already exists. There's a reason there's male and female in other species besides ours. It's because you put something in one of them, you put something in other of them. Individually, they're still strong, but together they're stronger if they stay with their roles that they were originally made for.
Because there's nothing wrong with being persistent to explain to people we need to stay consistent with things that will make us grow. That's
right.
It.
It's like this, the whole word being a stay-at-home mom is a dirty word now. No, I was very fortunate, folks. I was super-duper fortunate. I had a stay-at-home mom. I was her job. And if you can't tell me what's a more important job than raising young children, I can't think of anything because they're the next thing. They're the next future. Now, are you going to let somebody else raise them? Because that's what happens when you send them off to daycares and schools and all this other shit. You're letting somebody else raise your kid. I had a mom, and I was her job, and I turned out much better because I had that in my background.
Do you think the average person would allow someone to hold their purse?
No.
So why the hell would you let them hold their child?
The convenience.
Thank you. That's so crazy. People, I'm worried about my career, but you're not worried about how your children are reared. You're worried about your career, but you're not worried about how your children are reared. That's retarded. That's retarded. And if you can think that retardedness works, then of course what we're looking at now with people saying, well, I'm a boy that thinks I'm a girl, and I'm a girl that thinks I'm a boy. Well, that's normal. That's normal. And it's normal because everything we've allowed in any other direction has led to that type of thing happening. If you can make nonsense out of things that are only common sense for your natural survival, then, yeah, people will start talking absolutely ridiculously.
Yeah. And then it gets to a point where people have had enough, and then people finally speak their mind up, and they start to be popular because more people are fed up with the shit, and then it starts going back the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it starts going back the other way. But like you said, like we say, everything takes – there's a rotative thing that happens with everything.
Yeah.
And right now we're going through
the swing. Yeah.
Period. We're just going through, and people say, oh, we're going around the world. No, people are going around and around.
Yeah.
That's people. People go around and around and pick and choose to do things and do things selectively. This is people.
Well, if you want proof of that, you know, everybody can, here's proof of that. Go get a line of the styles that fashion people wore as long as you can, and you will see trends that run through, that go through, that disappear, that show back up. Because there was a trend to dress as nasty, like a homeless person. That was the trend. Ripped up jeans, looked like you'd been in a fight with a cougar. Want all your stuff to look worn out and raggedy. And that trend is now turning into, you watching people, the suits are coming back. The stylish fedoras and shit are coming back. Everything goes through cycles, including fashion, including public opinion. I don't care what it is. It runs through a cycle because people get bored with the same. So they want to go out and adventure and try this, and they don't realize it's all been tried before.
Yeah.
All you're doing is competing in the new circle that's being added to the circle that was there before. That's why the phrase, everything comes full circle, exists. That's why as a young man, when your grandpa tells you something, you think he's a smart man, but you don't listen to it. You go through life, and then you get down to be where your old man was. You go, damn, he was right.
Wow.
But you've got to learn it for yourself. Because you do not learn from your successes. You learn from your failures.
That's right. You learn from your failures because if first you don't succeed, you have to get up and try it again.
Yes, and there's going to be many failures.
Yes.
But you can't get depressed. You can't quit. Step back up and do it again. Because I've been through it all. I put myself through college. I got my first job. I got my first house. I got married, had kids, started a comedy career, thought I had support at home, didn't. Ended up homeless for 3 years. Got back up from that. Got back into a vehicle. Got back into a house. Started building again. Every time I've been knocked down, I just stepped back. And when I was getting myself going, took 5 years off to care for my parents. That was a dead stop in my career. Now I'm building my career back. I don't quit. I don't go, woe is me. I don't sit here and suck my thumb. I get up, look for a direction, and take a step in that direction. That's all you can do. That's everything you should do every single day. Get up and take a step in a direction.
Mm-hmm. That's
the best you can do. And the funny thing about it all, when you die, everything you've done means nothing.
According to what we know.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just gone. It means nothing to you. You're gone. And then you start what I call the next adventure.
Yeah.
Because we are a spark in this body. When an egg is fertilized, why is there a flash of light? That's been proven. That's not hearsay. Go look it up. The minute that sperm gets through, there is a flash of light. Now that is you entering that. I don't care what anybody says. That's you. Because before that, there was an egg that was sitting in a womb all by itself until the sperm showed up. Starting up, hey, and then you get in, and there's a flash of light. What is that flash of light? Answer me that.
The key to ignition.
That's you coming in. That's the spark.
Yeah,
when are you considered dead? When you have no electrical spark in your body. So what is you? You are the electrical spark.
When is your car dead? When it can no longer receive an electrical spark.
Right.
Okay. Your car can only function basically because the human body functioned and it showed you how to build a car.
Yeah.
Because the inner workings of a car is no different than the inner workings of the human body.
Right. We have systems.
Yes, because a car is dead until you put all of the fluids in there, when you've got the blood and whatever comes from the blood, you know, making fluid, whether it's a transmission fluid, whether it's an oil pan that needs to be done. And whatever it is, all these fluids have to be put in there. You got all your wires, which is your nervous system, all put together in this car. And then when you put all these things together, you got everything lubed up and ready, and you make sure everything's tight and sealed and everything's connected, then you turn it on. All right?
Yep.
When you get ready to come inside that female, you get it revved up. Because you don't have an automatic, you got a stick.
I got a stick.
You got a stick.
Four on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, four on the floor. Okay, I'm coming through double banging. You feel me? I'm doing my thing. Every now and then I might have to switch gears and skip a gear because I got it like that.
Just don't stick it in reverse.
There you go. Then you might have a problem. Man, that's hilarious. But that's us, man, in the whole nutshell. That's how life was. But now the scenarios of life are made up based on things that have no basis.
That's the truth. And like I said, I don't know that we can't say that's not a product of the lack of testosterone. Because as a young male, if we'd been tried to be feminized when we were younger, that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, no. Couldn't have been.
No. Not in our day.
Because we were explorers. We still were tied into the world.
Yes, we were outside riding our bikes, coming in when it got dark, being way, way from where we're supposed to be, living like little feral animals all over the place, but we didn't kill each other. We didn't disrespect our elders. We had a rule around us that allowed us to be free because we were trusted, and we built that trust with our parents, and that's why if we lost it, we felt bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And when your parents said, however they said it, whether they said, I'll spank you, I'll put my hands on you, I'll kick your ass, I'll beat your ass, whatever was said, it was accepted because we knew what was behind it most times.
Yeah.
Here, we didn't have to worry about our safety when it was said. We knew we might get a buck with them. We didn't want to worry about dying, that's there.
Right. But we knew there was going to be a price.
Oh, yeah, there was a price to pay that.
Yeah, there was going to be a price. What it was, they actually did that back then.
Mm-hmm.
They'd say, you're grounded for a week, and goddamn, they meant you were grounded for a week.
They meant it.
They didn't put you in there for a day and watch you mope and then go, oh, I feel sorry, I'm okay, we understand each other, hug and send you on. No, they said a week. For a week, you sat in your damn room.
Yeah.
With nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I was telling people about that. You said a week. Oh, man, I remember my mother used to punish me for a month at a time. A whole month.
Dude. We got, like I said, we had consequences. It didn't damage us. It made us responsible. It made us look at things from somebody else's perspective.
Yeah.
Rather than our self-centered perspective where we could never be disappointed. Well, life's full of disappointments. It's how you handle disappointments that you learn when you're younger.
Yeah, but we learn different type of lessons, you know?
Yeah.
My dad, you know, my dad was different. One time, I told you, one time I asked for some money, and my dad gave me a nickel. And I did what kids do. I pouted about the nickel and didn't say thank you or anything. I was like, just a nickel, Dad? I wanted some real money, you know, something stupid like that, you know.
Yep.
And I might have did that for a second or two. And my daddy said, all right, Master, you're getting a little out of hand. And you're being very, very unappreciative right now. And I still didn't come out of it. He said, all right, okay, open your hand up for a second. Let me see something. Open your hand. And he took the nickel. And he walked off. Now, he took the nickel and he walked off because I had a lack of appreciation, didn't understand how to say thankful for what I had received. You know what I'm saying? So he showed me a lesson. So instead of having a nickel, now you have nothing.
Right.
And the next time, he gave me a penny. And I said, thank you, Dad. I get ready to walk away. And he said, come here, boy. Here. And he gave me $2. So that was big back then, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gave me two whole dollars. I was like, man, because the dollar could take you a long way in the store, you know.
Oh,
look,
yeah.
Oh, man, you could do so much, man. I was like, yeah. I learned my lessons like this, though.
Yeah. That's what parents are supposed to teach you. That's what they don't understand with the participation trophy. You're supposed to kind of feel a little bit bad when you lose. Because that will make you not want to feel that again and try harder her to win the next time. That's not a bad thing. You're talking like teaching people to be competitive is a bad thing. Competitive at any cost is a bad thing. But competitive while being what we used to be, showboating didn't exist when we were younger. If a kid showboated on the field, they were benched. The end zone celebrations didn't exist. You were benched. You won with dignity. And that is gone. You know, you're out there, you know, it's decorum is one of the hardest things to teach. Winning with dignity is so much better than winning like an idiot. I'm going to say this, and it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
LeBron James. If he had just – when did you hear Michael Jordan get out and speak about anything when he was playing the game? When did you see him do anything out in public? When did you see him flop? When did you see him cry to an official? Because that was the dignity, you know? And now we got the showboat. And the showboat's all about me. It's not about anything else but me and me, me, me. And then when you make it about you, then unfortunately people can make it about you and not like you. And if they don't like you, they're not going to give a damn about your achievements.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
No. This is fact. This is what happens.
And that's what it is. And people don't understand.
Yeah. No, they don't. It's so hard to teach without talking down. That's one of the hardest things to do, is to teach somebody without talking down to them. That's why what your dad did was perfect. He let you figure out your actions with an example and then gave you another chance to show that you had figured it out on your own. He didn't tell you. He said, you know, you didn't seem grateful, and he took it back. That proved it. But all the lesson was on you, so instead of somebody telling you, you learned it. That's why it's still in you today.
And it's just because it's automatically, even when it's needed, it comes out of you, you know. You don't even have to think about it. It just is there.
It's part of you.
Yeah. You know.
It's just another part of me.
All the things I've learned to be able to adjust to the things I'll do.
And today, that would be considered a super hard lesson. No, that was just a lesson. That was a good lesson.
It's
like I did this with my kids. When my kids on their birthday, I would take them to a toy store. I would tell them how much I was going to spend on their birthday, and then I would let them go pick what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to fall in that money range. And that's where they learned if you buy a gigantic thing, you don't get a bunch of things. If you buy a bunch of small things, you get a bunch of small things. And that taught them, in a way, the value of money.
Yeah.
Because you had to make that choice and figure out, I can get this gigantic thing with this money. That's a lot of money, but I can't get anything else. So do I want one thing or do I want a lot of things? And that was a very simple lesson to teach them because all of my kids understand money today. Well, see, Christmas was surprises. That's the shit I bought.
Yeah.
The birthdays, that was their day to go pick what they wanted. But this is your budget. Now, meet your budget.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We are trying so hard to shield children from any conflict that we are neutering them to face a real world that is full of conflict.
Yeah.
See, at the moment he did that to you, you didn't enjoy it. You were like, what a dick. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you stand now and look at it, you're like, man, that was brilliant.
Yeah. When you
What did you think?
It was. It was brilliant.
And see what's, yeah.
See, that taught you a lesson that's ingrained in you. And not a unkind word was said. No violence was threatened. It was just an example that you lived through.
And that's it.
Yeah. But people today, look, this story just came out. Another one of the stories I found in, it's weird that it comes to this at this moment. They said they had a mass casualty incident at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's what made me want to go. They go, 10 immigrants were injured falling from a border wall. Now, let's go back to what my parents were saying. You shouldn't have climbed the damn wall. Because if you and I had climbed a wall and fell off and got hurt and went home to our parents wouldn't have got upset with the wall. Our parents would have got upset with us and said, what was your dumbass doing up on that wall? Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell were you up there for?
Yeah. What was the point of that? What was the point of that? Why did you do that? Hey, we bankrupted this country. It's coming home to roost. New York, Chicago, all of them are suffering. L.A., everybody's suffering from all this money. And they don't give a damn about you and me, Herm. Herm, I'm not getting $10,000 a month. I'm not getting a free hotel. I'm not getting free food. I'm not getting free health care. I'm not getting any of that free shit. And I live here, and they take my money.
That's crazy.
Why are we so concerned over them and not us?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what our parents would say. Charity starts at home. That's what your parents would say to you. You got to take care of what's local first. If you can't take care of the local, you sure as hell can't take care of the world. Maybe, name me the time that there's been floods of American people, American males out of this country to other countries to the point where, you know, a couple, 3 to 5 million of us are leaving every year. Name me that time. Never happened. Even when the Civil War was going on, people weren't leaving. Because we understood that we had to solve our problems right here rather than trying to go somewhere else. So we stood our ground. We solved our problems. Every one of them should be sent back to solve their problems in their country. If your country is a shithole, then do something about it.
You ain't lying.
Don't come over here. And then we have to spend big. We spent $500 million last year across this nation for immigrants. Go home and fix your problems. Be a man and fix your problems. We have done that here before. We fixed our problems. Don't make us perfect, because ain't no such thing as perfect. Does not exist. I mean, everybody says the afterlife is perfect. But is that true? Guess who knows? Only the people
who
live.
You got to believe.
Yeah, you got to believe.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Because, see, I know there's an afterlife. That's not a problem for me. I know. Because that spark goes somewhere. Now, where it goes, that's where you go. Now, what is it? Is it something you remember? Do you leave your memories behind? Is it a perfect world? Is it an imperfect world? Do you do it again? There's a million different theories, but I know there's something else. Now, if I'm wrong and there is nothing else, guess what? It won't matter to me because I won't be here to feel regret. Regret is something you feel. So if you're not there to feel it, you can't feel it. So don't worry about it, because it sure as hell ain't worrying me.
Yeah, your hell ain't worrying me either.
Right. It's going to be what it's going to be. That's exactly what it's going to be. It is going to be exactly what it's going to be. I hope it's a place where you get to meet all your friends from here and go fishing and not have to worry about who's paying for the gas or who's paying for the bait or who's paying for anything, and just go fishing and enjoy yourself and live your life not worrying about making all your frickin' bills.
Yeah.
That's all you do here. Run, run, run. Got to get this done. Got to get this done. Run, run, run.
All day.
All the time.
And then you get tired of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to chill, sit back.
Well, I don't know if you remember, they interviewed this, I think it was a 107-year-old woman once, and they asked her what she wanted. She goes, I just want to die. She had enough.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
But you start thinking about that at some point. It's like I said, I'm having a problem right now, and this is, sounds stupid to some people, but it's one of these things where I'm always on the run trying to, you know, the fall tour takes a lot. Trying to get a vehicle ready for a fall tour takes a lot. When you're changing vehicles, it takes a lot. When you're changing houses, it takes a lot. And you just run, 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 run. And I really like the days that I can just sit back and freaking chill. I do. And they just don't exist because time is so fleeting. And when you start realizing that is when you're sitting there going, okay, I'm 61. In 6 days, I'll be 62. My birthday's March 10th. So I'll be 62 March 10th. The average age of American is 70 now, I believe. Well, that means I got 8 more summers.
What? No.
You get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Then you're like, oh, why? Where did? And then you look back, but when you look back, it seems like yesterday, but it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. It was about 30 years ago. You and I were running around in my cars and your cars and going on the road and doing some shows and hanging out, and you were in the Navy and I was still working at the power company. Here we are many, many years later, both of us self-employed, successful people,
yeah,
and still that, friends.
That people don't understand all these years go by and it's like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had people tell me, I'm not considerate of others. You don't care about nobody but yourself. You're mean. You're evil. You're so-and-so. And I'm like, what? And I don't think of that about you. So what conjures up in people's mind to think so horribly about people? And you don't really, you would never think of them in that way, in no way, shape, form, or fashion, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This is this world we live in where people are just so disgusted and angry. I don't even think they know why they're so disgusted and angry, number one. You know, they're just angry and disgusted. Over what? Over what not?
Well, it's the pendulum swing, though. This is the whole pendulum swing. It goes to the fact that people are never happy. They're never happy because they've always got to have that struggle to keep them running. Because a lot of people, if they don't have that struggle, don't know what to do with themselves. Seriously. There's a large number of people, and they're all sitting there going, yeah, I know what to do with myself. Yeah, no, you don't. You really don't. That stuff is something that's part of you. The need to progress and do stuff. If it's not part of you, then you're not here to learn. Because part of the learning is doing stuff. Part of the learning is seeing people. Part of the learning is putting yourself in situations you're uncomfortable with. That's part of the learning. That's why one of the theories, if you want to play theories, is that the aliens created Earth as a place to cultivate souls. So they would take a soul that had no lesson in it and put it through life to learn the lessons so that when it goes to live in the alien society, we're basically school. That's a theory.
That's true.
Yeah. So when you sit there and look at it,
You go, wait a minute. What if there's something to that?
And see, that's what you have to sit back with everything that you think about, period. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe there is something to that.
Yeah, don't just throw it away.
Yeah, you can't just throw away thoughts, right?
Yeah.
You can't just piss it off in the wind. You got to
pick it up. Look at it.
Pick it up, man. Yeah.
Turn it sideways. Look at it from the top. Look at it from the bottom. Look at it from the world of possibilities. Hey, the government does it all the time. Let me put it to you this way. If I told you before 911, if I told you before 911 that a man in a cave with a satellite phone was going to control a group of guys with box cutters who were going to take over planes and all of them be successful, fly them into three separate buildings, and of the three that were, two that were flown into, they're going to fall on a building that never had a plane's going to fall, and the Pentagon, the most secure place on the planet, is not going to have any video of it. And it's also going to subvert the most advanced air system in the world with the most protections in the world. And on that day, we just happened to be running a simulation of that exact thing that was happening, and that's why it took so long to respond. So we have a built-in answer. If I told you that story, you'd be going, you are a fanciful thing. Where did you come up with such a crazy idea? And then when it happens, you're told you're crazy if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to ignore the law of physics. You're supposed to ignore all the laws of physics. You're supposed to ignore it for years. You've been told on every single TV show how hard it is to implode a building into its footprint, and that it's very super important that every single structural support fail at the exact same time. Yet now we're supposed to believe two planes going into a building creating damage that was not symmetrical. Mm-hmm. It was very asymmetrical, yet the building, everything failed at the exact same second, and it collapsed into its footprint. The hardest thing to do, not one building, not two buildings, but three buildings on the same day where a skyscraper has never fallen because of fire. Matter of fact, skyscraper had never fallen. But on that day, in Magic Land, not only did it fall, but it fell at free fall speed. But if you bring up any of this shit, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm bringing up facts. Things can't fall at free fall speed if they're pancaking. So if it went at free fall speed, that meant the bottom was gone. If it pancaked, it couldn't have gone at free fall speed. These are physics. This is not my opinion. This is facts. Now, you got to ask yourself, why did that happen? Because of the Patriot Act. Now, the government can surveil you, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And if you talk out about it, you'll be like that journalist who filmed January 6th, who is now in prison. You're facing charges, four misdemeanor charges, and they perp-walked him to destroy his reputation. We are living in a banana republic, whether you want to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
I don't believe the fanciful stories. It's all make-believe.
You become a conspiracy theorist.
That's right.
Making up things for no reason, pulling things out the crack of your butt, and you don't have no reason to be doing it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, Herm, we run past our time again. As usual.
Oh, shoot. It's 1:55.
Yeah. And I gotta clip us off because my son's got a little truck problem, and I got to go do some researching on the codes that his truck's throwing at him and see if I can figure out what's wrong with it. I'm going to go do my own research.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Get into that conspiracy theory of your research that you're going to do to help yourself.
I could go pay somebody a whole bunch of money.
You should just pay the money, man.
Yeah, just pay the money. It's easier.
What are you doing, man? Why? Yeah. You don't even know what you could be doing. You could be sitting on your couch, twiddling your thumbs. Or somebody else is working. And you're figuring out how you're going to pay today.
Yeah. I always tell people, I got more time than I got money.
Yeah. Some of my guns.
Some of my beach.
Yeah, man.
Well, Herman, I'm going to be getting up with you this week, matter of fact, because I got that van pretty close to the point where I need it to be. And we need to talk about that room. And
yeah, we need to talk about that room because we need to go ahead and get it rolling.
Get some projects underway for you and me.
Yeah.
Because my spring people who usually came through just didn't, and I don't understand it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to quit. What that means is back up and find another direction, and we've been wanting to do this, so this makes it the perfect time, don't it?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Why not? You know, there's a reason for everything.
That's right. We take that step. That's how we do it.
There's a reason for everything, and we're going to do this, man, with no problem.
Exactamundo.
I got you, big brother.
All right, man. Well, Herman, always a pleasure, you know. We went everywhere.
You know. And landed perfectly. Yes, sir.
Landed perfectly, just like it was scripted, only we don't read from scripts.
No, this is all natural. All natural.
All natural, folks. So, again, keep your head up. Don't believe what we say. Look at it. Make your own opinion. Opinions ain't a bad thing. And everybody should have an opinion. And an opinion doesn't agree with you doesn't make it a bad opinion. It means something you maybe ought to look at and try to figure out why they think that. Use your brain.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. That's why it was created. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why it can do so much. You just have to get it to do it and sit around with just putting your eyes on TV and watching mindless shit. Go figure some stuff out for yourself. It'll make you feel good.
Yes.
So, yes. If you're listening to this, as always, you are the resistance.
When the enemy comes into your life like a flood, stand your ground and take your sword out in Luke 10 and go eyeball to eyeball with him and tell him, I have been given the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Stand your ground. When he tries to use one of his main tactics, which is fear, tell him, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand your ground. When he thinks you're down, tell him, I'm not down, Satan. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand your ground. When he tells you you're a loser, tell him, I am the head and not the tail. When the enemy comes after you, tell him, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand your ground. When he whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do this, throw Philippians 4:13 to him. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand your ground.